As many of you know, NATO G8 has never met at the same place in the same time, and yet here it is in Chicago. We have committed to organizing two legal, permitted, family-friendly marches and rallies where people can have their voices heard. While none of us in this room underestimates the work that will be done, we're all up to the challenge. Let's take this opportunity to have our organizing efforts reflect the world we want to see, one of respect for each other, honesty with each other, acceptance of diverse opinions, and giving each other room to grow. On this date 48 years ago, Reverend Martin Luther King was in Washington, D.C., and from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, delivered one of the most stirring, passionate, inspiring, and well-known speeches. Dr. King talked about his dream of racial equality and the end of discrimination. We all have dreams for how this world can be. My dream is that NATO G8 protests in May are not the end, but the beginning of the next phase of our movement. We want to take the relationships, friendships, and unity that we build amongst ourselves and continue to build a movement that will work towards making the world a place of peace, social justice, economic fairness, and as Dr. King dreamed of, equality. I'm grateful to be on this journey with you. One of the people I'm most grateful for is the next speaker, Joe Osbaker. Joe is the UNAC spokesperson in Chicago.
Thank you, Pat. I want to just begin by noting that this is kind of similar to growing up and being a church-going kid. If you've come in late, the only seats that remain are in the front pews. Sorry. good morning to all of the brothers and sisters from Chicago, and welcome to Chicago from all of those around the country and from Canada. I don't believe we have any other countries present, but we are internationalists, and we are honored that the Canadians are joining this coalition today. On June 22nd, we heard the rumors that NATO and G8 was going to be gathering in Chicago for a joint summit in May. That day, I was walking into a meeting of the Committee Against Political Repression with Pat Hunt, and she said, "I've gotten a dozen calls and texts already from around the country. What are we going to do when NATO and G8 comes to Chicago?" I had gotten one call, but we discussed it at our meeting, and we decided there and then that Chicago would meet the challenge. And we agreed that I would go the very next morning at 8 a.m. to the offices to put in the permits for rallies at the Daley Plaza and the Federal Plaza for two dates in May, Tuesday the 15th, the starting day of the summit, and Saturday the 19th. Here we are 2 months later, and basically, folks, we have been running flat out for the last 2 months to organize this meeting and found both a national coalition and a local coalition against NATO and G8 to say no to their wars and their attacks on the lives of workers and oppressed people. This meeting today brings together over 100 organizations. I lost count, actually, and I know there's more people who've registered now. And we have key groups as well, folks who have played a leading role in every major anti-war and anti-globalization protest in recent years, veterans of the anti-war movements since Vietnam, as well as leading fighters in the community and labor struggles here in Chicago. We have reached out broadly in these last 2 months, gathering support from faith-based activists, from Arab and Muslim communities, African-American, Puerto Rican, and Chicano-Mexicano communities, and all the organizations in Chicago and across the country in the anti-war movement to build the largest possible protests in May. The first phase of this campaign is going to be to win the right to march from the city of Chicago. We know the administration is dead set against us. We've already been threatened by the police superintendent McCarthy. In response to our request for permits, he announced he's training 13,000 officers for mass arrests. In addition, the city, county, and federal agencies are stalling us to see if the wind goes out of our sails. The offices where I placed those permit requests informed me that I should expect an initial response to the requests within 2 weeks, and that was 9 weeks ago. Actually, they wrote me back the next day to say, "Oh, we got it, and we'll start working on it." And I think then they got the phone call from City Hall. So Now the mayor says in the paper this week that it's too soon to talk of protests, but I wonder, are NATO and the G8 being told that it's too soon to, like, oh, those parks along the lakefront? Yeah, we can't really seal those off because you can't get a permit for it until January 3rd? I don't think so. I think that they're making their plans, and we have the right to make our plans. So I want to relate something that we learned from the work to defend against the FBI and grand jury repression. Folks probably know when the FBI, you know, the FBI raided my house, my wife and I, Stephanie Weiner and I, on September 24th, a year ago. There are numerous other folks in the room whose homes were raided by the FBI as well from the Twin Cities. And I want to welcome my my fellow victims of FBI repression. When this happened back in September, you know, we were pretty shocked, to say the least. But the tremendous outpouring of support from around the country and around the world, you know, really more than made up for that. I think it's also the case that the Department of Justice and the FBI and the U.S. Attorney, I think they weren't expecting that. I thought that they thought, well, these people are radicals. They'll be easily isolated. They'll cower. They'll hide. And we'll be able to put them in prison in a very short amount of time. And instead, we rallied our friends, our associates, people active in the movements with us, and it spread and spread and spread, and here we are a year later, and none of the 23 who were subpoenaed to a grand jury have been compelled to spend any time in prison, and that's a victory for the strength of our movement. We think something similar is going to happen with this NATO G8 protest. Right now, the mayor and the president are thinking that they can bring those terrible people into our city where most people oppose war. Most people are suffering under the effects of the economic crisis. Emmanuel and Obama think that the anti-war movement is gone and that people are so afraid of the Tea Party that they won't oppose the masters of war and the gangster bankers, or banksters, however you say it. Anyway, we think that when workers and oppressed people realize that not just the U.S. bankers, not just the heads of the U.S. military, but all the biggest bankers and all the war makers on Earth are going to be here on the shores of Lake Michigan, we'll see the largest protest against war and against impoverishment in the history of our town. I gotta speed it up. Why do we think this is gonna happen? Because over the last 3 years, opposition to the war in Afghanistan has grown and grown and grown. The American people are tired of that war. They do not support it. They do not support sending our young people over there to fight and die. They do not support the slaughter of innocents. And they don't support the fact that trillions can be spent on war and we don't have money for basic human needs here at home. When we march on the McCormick Place, the convention center, our front banner will read jobs, housing, healthcare, education, pensions, the environment, not war. And we think that will speak for most people in this city. And we think that tens of thousands of them will join us and say no to NATO G8 and their war and poverty agenda. And I'm confident that you, brothers and sisters, are going to help lead this struggle and this great victory for the anti-war and anti-globalization movement. All right, and now I get to introduce someone who I've just met. But I'm honored to introduce her as well. Marilyn Levin is the co-coordinator for the United National Anti-War Coalition, and she's from the Boston area, and has been a leading anti-war activist there as well. So, Marilyn.
I'm so happy to be here and to welcome you to the conference to kick off the organizing of the mobilizations to protest the summits of NATO and the G8 in Chicago. I'm happy to be here in the city where I was almost a native, except my Detroit mother convinced my Chicago father that the wartime factories were booming in Detroit, and off he went. I want to thank the organizers of this important day, especially those of you on the ground in Chicago, who will bear a big load of both the logistics and the squelching of our rights that your great mayor and police superintendent are planning for us. I want to thank all of you for coming, because you recognize the historic importance of these gatherings of the military and economic rulers of the world, and how our response in the streets and in the media is critical. And finally, I want to thank President Obama and the military and financial leaders for deciding to hold these summits in the United States to give the entire movement an opportunity to come together next spring to march, rally, educate, and organize all of our communities to denounce their agendas of endless war and escalating poverty with our united demands for sustainable worldwide peace and justice, and to offer more than election campaigns to bring about social change. It also gives us the important opportunity and obligation to educate the public about NATO and the G8. What we do leading up to May is equally important. People in the United States don't know what NATO is and the relationship between these wars and their nefarious goals for imperial economic domination. People think NATO has to do with Europe and U.S. defense. The ongoing assault on Libya is a portent of more horrible things to come, and we must educate our movement and the public about what it all means and what we must do to stop them. Let me give you an outline of how this came to be. UNAC, the United National Anti-War Coalition, formed last year at a conference of 800 activists from peace, environmental, economic, and social justice groups from around the country in Albany. This was the largest anti-war conference held since 9/11 and the initiation of the so-called War on Terror. At this conference, we highlighted the repression directed at the Muslim community, and we passed an ambitious action program, including national mass anti-war actions in April. Since then, we have been active in opposing the U.S.-NATO intervention in Libya and other countries, campaigns about the wars at home and abroad, and defense of civil liberties. At a national gathering in June, attended by 80 people representing 46 groups, we passed a resolution calling for an internationally coordinated mobilization against war and for social justice at the site of the NATO gathering in the spring of 2012, and to organize a meeting of broad forces to discuss and prepare initial plans to begin work on this spring action. At the time, we did not know the date or location of the NATO meeting, and we did not know that the G8 summit would be held at the same time. And now we are here to officially launch the national call to action. We know that the 28 nations that comprise NATO and the finance ministers and heads of state of the G8 world economic powers are coming, they say, to foster consensus on global issues such as economic growth and crisis management, global security, energy, and terrorism. We say the name of their game is security and profits, theirs, not ours. How they achieve this is to plan increasing draconian austerity measures of social cuts and privatization of everything, and soaring debts to pay for their wars, nukes, drones, and bases, through increased suppression of civil rights and liberties, with attacks on unions and dissidents, and racist attacks on blacks, Latinos, immigrants, and Muslims, through their crisis capitalism profits, their assaults on the environment and climate, and through control of energy, food, water, and mineral resources. Ours is an agenda for the future of humanity and our planet. What do we plan? As you know, we want to be there on opening day, Tuesday, May 15th, to hold a press conference, rally, and peaceful march. On Saturday, March 19th, we plan a huge, legal, peaceful, permitted march and rally to exercise our democratic right to assemble and protest. We expect to welcome national and international speakers and local speakers representing those who are being targeted by war, repression, racism, and austerity. We may also want to organize an educational counter summit to feature some of the speakers in greater depth who are coming to Chicago who do not have another platform. The demands we will march behind were passed almost unanimously at the national conferences. They are to bring all U.S. NATO troops, mercenaries, and war contractors home now. No drone attacks, no war threats, no sanctions, no support for dictators. End U.S. aid to Israel, the occupation of Palestine, and the siege of Gaza. Bring our war dollars home. No to corporate and bank bailouts. Trillions for jobs, housing, education, health care, pensions, and the environment. Tax the rich, not working people. No to a tax on unions, cutbacks, layoffs, foreclosures, and austerity. Civil liberties for all. End racist attacks on Muslim and Arab communities, blacks, Latinos, Native Americans, and immigrants. No to FBI repression and grand jury subpoenas to anti-war and social justice activists. Honor our constitutional right to assemble, to march, to protest the war machine, to speak truth to power, and to demand peace and justice. These are the most pressing issues the world faces today. The overarching theme we can all agree to is to say no to the NATO G8 war and poverty agenda. It is not necessary that each organization or individual adopt the entire program of demands we project in our call. If a union, for example, can unite around bringing our war dollars home, they can endorse the rally and carry their own banners and signs or organize a feeder march to join the broader mobilization. Having these demands, however, covers the major issues we need to stand up around and allows us to do the outreach and bring in the broadest, most diverse constituencies in a united front action. We have a lot of work to do as we mobilize to confront the superpowers and architects of the global war to terrorize everyone. They will try to divide us, to violence and red bait us, to accuse us of anti-Semitism, to say we are anti-American, to say we are out to target Obama, to say mass action is passé, to say we are too confrontational. We need to support each other in our diverging political views and tactics, to work in democratic coalitions, to remain steadfast and united in our mission, and to fight for our right to be heard. If we can do that, we can revitalize our movement and send a powerful message that we are strong and that we have the power to confront the war makers and to rewrite the poverty and war agendas.